The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
And I believe we're on right there. Thank you, Dale. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 26. And Q is sitting on the front row. Raise your hand, Q, would you? And David Castillo led him to Christ about 3 weeks ago, and Q has not missed a service. And very thankful for people that get saved and dive in, and that is a wonderful blessing. Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 26. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Let's stand, would you please? And we'll just read this one verse, and I'll come back and read some other verses to you. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. The Bible says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, the privilege to be able to come, open a Bible, learn and grow. God, I pray you'll speak to our hearts and show us a truth tonight that can help us. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you will. Brother Mason, if you can crank my volume up just a little bit, that would help me with my voice. I appreciate that. Here's what we see in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. The Bible says, "But Jesus beheld them," as I read it again, "and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Look at Mark, if you will. Mark, there's Matthew, Mark. Look at Mark chapter 9. Look at verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Jesus said unto him," Mark chapter 9, verse 23, "if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now go to Luke chapter 18, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 18, look at verse 27. Verse 27. Notice this, if you will. We're in the book of Luke chapter 18 and verse 27. Here's what the Bible says. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. The Bible says, "And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Let me just read you one more verse. You need not to turn to it because I'm going back to Matthew. But here's what it says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. The Bible says, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove thence to yonder place, and it shall remove." Now listen to the last portion of this verse. It's really good. The Bible says, "And nothing shall be impossible unto you." So I want to speak tonight on how to face the impossible. How to face the impossible. You know, you realize that we live in a world where there's a lot of stress. You live in a world where there's a lot of expectations of people, especially here in our Western civilization. We live in a world where we work all the way from the early morning until the late night hours. We have a lot that is pressed upon us. For those that are not able to overcome stress, it almost seems impossible. So what do? They'll run to drugs, they'll run to booze, they'll run to try to make things happen, even if they have to cheat, hurt somebody in order to make it happen. But we have a hope. Our hope is Jesus Christ. We understand this, that what is called impossible to some is called very possible to others. You know, what one person looks at as being impossible, other people look at it and they say it's possible. Why? It's based on us a lot, our faith in God, maybe the way that we walk with God, maybe the influences that God has allowed us to have in our lives. And so what some may say, say a child may look at something and say, "That's impossible." Or a teenager looks at the same thing and says, "Oh, that's possible." You take a teenager that might look at something and say, "That's impossible." Where you have an adult that looks at it and says, "Well, that's possible." You have maybe a new believer that looks at something and says, "That's just impossible." But you have somebody who's been saved a while, maybe a little bit mature in their faith. They look at the very same thing and they say, "Man, that's totally possible."
You have somebody that's walking in the flesh, not close to God at that particular time in their life. They look at an event, they look at a struggle, they look at a difficulty, and they say, that's just impossible, can't overcome it. You look at that person that's close to God at that time in their life, you know, they're walking with God, they're believing God, they're having faith in God, they're allowing God to show them things in a special way through His Word. They look at the very same incident, they look at the very same event, they look at the very same tragedy, if I may say, and what happens is that person says, because of their walk with God at the time, they say, oh, that's possible. That's possible. So people view the impossible and the possible differently depending on where they are in their walk of faith with God. They view the impossible and the possible depending sometimes on who they run with, who their friends are, their close associates are. Sometimes a person will be able to be encouraged, maybe through a message, maybe through a book that they read, maybe through, yes, even a song that they hear that pushes them to draw closer to the Lord. It seems sometimes that people face impossible situations when it comes to finances, when it comes to a wayward child, when it comes to a marriage struggle, when it comes to a business endeavor, when it comes to a personal work, when it comes to a relationship, or when it comes to health, or it comes to carrying a burden. So what is it that we can do to be able to face the impossible? Let me give you a couple of things. Face the impossible by continuing to believe God is good. Face the impossible by continuing to believe that God is good. By the way, listen to me now. No matter what you're facing, stay with this thought. No matter what you're facing, it doesn't change God's goodness. God is good no matter what you're going through. No matter what you're facing in life, it does not change the very character nor the attributes of God. The Bible says over in Psalm 34 and in verse 8, it says, oh, taste, it says, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. All right? So God is teaching here that how is it that we can be blessed as we trust Him? Well, you have to taste of Him. In other words, when you're going through the trials in your life, you're going through the difficulties in your life, rather than tasting of the bitterness of the event, tasting of the bitterness of the trial, it might be good to change what you're tasting. By the way, salt does taste different than sugar. Hot sauce does taste different than honey. So depending on what you're tasting about the event is the way that you're going to view the event. Job went through a horrendously hard time, but the Bible says in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, and I will maintain mine own ways before him. What's he saying? Though I'm going through this difficult time, it's not going to change my ways. It's not going to change the direction in which I walk. It's not going to change the definition or the depth in which I walk. You know that a trial is getting the best of you when it causes your walk with God to diminish. You know that a trial is becoming the controller of you when it changes your mind and that therefore you start to walk differently. You can tell, by the way, if you know somebody well enough, you can tell when they're going through a fiery trial. Why? Because it shows up on their face. Shows up in their activity, shows up in their direction, shows up in, yes, the very way that they carry themselves. Sometimes people walking around the hallway, and you can tell that they're just kind of go happy people. I mean, if they could skip, they would. If there was a chandelier and they could hang on it, they would. But then that same type of person, sometimes if they're getting high emotionally, the pendulum can also swing low. And so we have to be careful to make sure that as we go through those impossible times that we realize that God is good. Psalm 135 and verse 3, the Bible says this, bless the Lord, for the Lord is good. It says, sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you this? When you sing praises unto His name, when you sing, and by the way, it doesn't have to be a meaningful song. Don't even have to be a song. It could be something you made up. Now, make sure it's good. Amen. Okay? Make sure it's godly in its content. But wait a minute. Have you seen people that walk down around maybe a hallway or they walk and they're, as they're walking, they're humming, or as they're walking, they're whistling, or as they're walking, they're singing? Why? Well, they're doing that because what is in the heart comes out. I've said often, if you take an orange and you squeeze it, orange juice comes out. If you take a person that has joy and you squeeze them, joy comes out. You take a person that's bitter and you squeeze them, bitterness comes out. You take a person that's having trouble with forgiveness and you squeeze them, then unforgiveness comes out. You take a person and you squeeze them, and love is what permeates inside of themselves, and you squeeze them, guess what? Love comes out. When you're under pressure and you're under stress, when you get squeezed, the real you reveals itself. So how is it that we can face the impossible? Statement number one, here's what we do. We face the impossible by continuing to believe God is good. Let me restate this again. God's good whether you're going through a rough time or not. God is good whether you're happy through your rough time or you're sad through your rough time. God is still good. God's character doesn't change. God's definition does not change. God himself with his attributes does not change. Now, I'm sorry that sometimes we do get overwhelmed, but I'm trying to help with that tonight. Statement number one, what do you do when you face the impossible? Continue to believe that God is good. Statement number two, face the impossible by keeping your faith in God. Man may let you down, but you have a holy God tonight that will never let you down. You may lose your faith in yourself, but please tonight, I beg you, do not lose your faith in God. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 22, the Bible says, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. So Jesus is saying, listen, you just need to have faith in God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar decided he was going to build a golden image to a false god, if you will. And those three Hebrew boys faced the burning fiery furnace that was lit extra hot. The boldest and the strongest men that could be picked out of the army was the ones that's going to cast them in to the burning fiery furnace, cast them in, and the hotness of that furnace was so great, it consumed the men, these robust men that cast them in, and all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar comes back. Nebuchadnezzar is the one that gave them the sentence of death. He looks into the burning fiery furnace. He doesn't see one. He doesn't see two. He doesn't see three. He sees four, and the fourth is likened unto the Son of God. And so can I say tonight that when you go through the fires of life, if you just look up and you see that God has not forsaken you, God is still there with you. God can help you to be able to take the right step. God can help you to be able to trust him and to be able to go forward, to be able to accomplish the things that God would have you to do. Daniel, all of a sudden, a decree was passed by the king. The decree was this, that you're not supposed to pray to any other gods, if you will. Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, and if it be so, it says, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. This is the three Hebrew boys from the burning fiery furnace. He's able to deliver thee, us from thee, O king. Now, by the way, they weren't going to bow down even if the fact they were going to burn. But in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25, here's what you see. You see that he said, though I see four walking in the midst of the fire and have no hurt. And by the way, when you keep your eyes on the Lord, have you ever done this? Have you ever hurt yourself, but there was something that had your attention so much that you just kind of ignored the hurt? Have you ever done that? It might have been a goal that you had to finish. Might have been something that you were in the middle. I've seen basketball players that twist their ankles, and they just ignore it and keep playing. I've seen football players break something, and they just keep going. Break a finger, and they just wrap it to the next one and just keep going. I've seen boxers get their face, I'm talking about all smashed up, nose broken, lips bleeding, ears pounded in the side of their heads, and they just keep going. Why? Because what they're facing is a greater pull to them than the problems that they're facing that would cause them to stop. Now, if that be true tonight, dear beloved friend, may we keep our eyes on Christ that much. May we just decide that the cause that we're called to is greater than the problems that we face. May we decide that we're going to be like the Apostle Paul, where Paul said that he mortified the flesh, where he put to death the flesh. You might not be the best in everything that you can be or should be, but thank God you're not what you were. Thank God that God is still working on you. And by the way, if God is still working on somebody, can I say this tonight? Can I say, if God is working on somebody, then why don't you be Christian enough to give somebody some grace whereby God is still working on them? May I say this tonight? You face the impossible by keeping your faith in God. I started to tell you as I jumped ahead about Daniel in the lion's den. But can I tell you that even Daniel in the lion's den that I'll cover in just a second knew that he had to face God. And by facing God, God could help him with the problem. You can have faith in God when things are good. You can have faith in God when you know the end result is going to be to your advantage. You can have faith in God when it seems like the raise is coming your way. But what do you do when the problems come? What do you do when you can't see the finish line? What do you do when you don't see the written plan? What do you do when you feel like you're standing all by yourself and you just cannot make it and it just doesn't seem fair? I mean, here you are, you're doing your best in child rearing, but it just doesn't seem to be working out. Here you are, you're doing your best in your financial world, but it just doesn't seem to be working out. Here you are and trying to build a relationship, but it just doesn't seem to be working out. Here you are working on a bus route as a bus captain, and you're giving it everything you've got, but it just doesn't seem to be working out. Here you are, and you're coming to a fundamental independent. By the way, I'm glad I'm a fundamental independent Baptist preacher. You say, would you rather be something else? Not on your life. I don't want to be a Southern Baptist. I don't want to be a hard-shell Baptist. I don't want to be a soft-shell Baptist. I don't want to be a missionary Baptist. I don't want to be any other type of Baptist, but a fundamental, independent Baptist preacher. You say, why is that? Because I just believe we're right. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying face the impossible by keeping your faith in God. What else do you do? Face the impossible by continuing to pray. Now we move to Daniel. Here Daniel's in the lion's den. Daniel is facing these ferocious, man-eating, flesh-consuming type of lions. Pretty sure they hadn't had breakfast. Pretty sure they hadn't had lunch. And supper's coming. And Daniel now is delivered. Can I tell you, if you'll understand this, that God is the one that does answer prayer. And sometimes hard things, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, howbeit that this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Sometimes we have to believe God enough to pray and fast. Oh, but preacher, I'm trying to pay my college bill, and it just doesn't seem like it's happening. Have you prayed? Amen. Have you fasted? Oh, but I'm having trouble with my marriage. Have you prayed? Have you fasted? Oh, but I need a better job that's paying more. Have you prayed? Have you fasted? But you don't understand. It just doesn't seem like anybody wants to be my friend. Have you prayed? Have you fasted? Sometimes here's what we do. We leave God out to the bitter last end. And God shouldn't be on the end. He should be on the front. He should be the one that we turn to in times of agony, in times of struggle. Hey, can I tell you, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He is the Lord thy God. He changeth not. He'll be there for you. But you've got to decide that you turn to him in your darkest hour. I'm saying tonight that here Daniel is. Darius decided, that wicked king, that he was going to pass a law. That law was going to inhibit perhaps those that served an almighty God such as Daniel. And Daniel decided, I'm still going to pray. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible says that these men assembled and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. It didn't change him. Amen. What are you going to do when all of a sudden they come up and they say, well, wait a minute, I know you're a Christian, but I'm telling you right here now, you're not allowed to pray over your meal. What are you going to do? Are you going to tuck your tail and run? What are you going to do? Well, I'm sorry, but you can't mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ. You can't mention that when you pray in Congress. You know, every preacher that they've told not to mention that in Congress, they say it just a little bit louder. Why? Because they're not going to tuck tail and run. Why is it that all these different groups, they have an agenda, but it just seems like that the Christians are so passive? You let people step on you. You let people kick you. You let people make fun of you. Can I tell you, somebody ought to stand up. Somebody ought to say, now, wait a minute. You can talk about your gods as much as you want to talk bad about your gods, but you're not going to talk about my almighty God that way.
Amen.
You know, you're not going to take his name and smear it in the dirt. No, you're not going to do that. No, you're not going to do that in front of me. And there has to be some Christians that's going to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. And by the way, we need some young preachers, like preachers that's in our Bible college, that's going to rise up. And when you graduate, go out and take a pulpit and charge hell with a squirt gun and get out there and do the job of a pastor and do the job of an evangelist. And don't be somebody that tucks tail and runs, but you decide that you'll serve God, put God first, and just decide, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm saying this tonight, when you face the impossible, how do you do it? You do it by continuing to believe that God is good. And by the way, God is a good. How do you do it? You face the impossible by keeping your faith in God. And by the way, some people will not keep their faith in God. As a pastor, as a preacher for many years now, been preaching for 34 years, and can I tell you, I've been greatly, and preacher, you've been this way too, been greatly dismayed by people that used to be but is no more. Churches that used to stand but now they folded. Used to be straight but now they're crooked. Can I tell you that you can face the impossible by keeping your faith in God? You can face the impossible by continuing to pray. Daniel chapter 6 verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, and when he came to the den, he cried and he lamented. Listen to it. He cried with a lamentable voice. It says, unto Daniel, watch this. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. Boy, he changed his tune, didn't he? It says, is thy God whom thou savest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Watch this. Then Daniel said unto the king there, it says, oh, king, it says, live forever. Now, he realized, and by the way, wouldn't it be good if we had enough faith to trust in God that God would deliver us from every complicated problem? Well, you know, preacher, I've got to run and get help here, and I got to run and get help there. Oh, but what about God? Could not God be the one that would still answer prayer? He did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He did it for others and still does it today. Statement number next, face the impossible by continuing. This is the last point, by continuing to go forward for God. Just continue. Get yourself some bulldog tenacity. Just continue. Come on. You ever seen that Walmart kid? We call him the Walmart brat. He wants to get a toy. What's he do? He continues until he gets some type of result for his pursuit. But he's continuing. Have you ever seen somebody run for government office? Well, they do. They continue. Have you ever seen somebody get slammed because of their belief? If they really believe it, what do? They simply continue. May I remind you, Nehemiah stayed on the wall, just kept working. You know, as pastor, here's what I find out. I find out some people join the church and they stick. I wish everybody would, I think. But I also find out that people join the church and they're just pass-throughers. They're here for a little while and then they pass on. Now, can I tell you, we're here to serve people no matter how long they be with us. If they're with us for 10 years and we serve Jesus together, that's fine and good. Amen. If they're with us for 3 years or 2 years or 1 year, then that's a blessing. What does that mean? That means this, preacher, that no matter who's coming to the church, by the way, don't base your service for Christ on people that stay or people that leave. I'm talking to you now. You said, but I became good friends with so-and-so and they left. That should not change your relationship with God. That should not change your service to God. You're not doing it for man, you're doing it for Him. By the way, if somebody comes and they stay and they're here for 40 years and you die, they're going to miss you because you left. You did leave, you died. But somebody's going to miss you. And they might even get bitter towards you. I can't believe it. I can't believe he went and died on me. We're planning on playing golf next week. We're planning on going hunting next year. I can't believe it. He died before he gave me the recipe how to cook that fish. I'm bitter. You can't be that way. Here's what happens. Somebody new joins. Stand up, all you fellas. Somebody new joins the church. You don't know how long they're going to be here. You don't know. You can't judge them and say, well, he dresses this way, so yeah, he's a keeper. He'll probably be here at least, 10, 20 years. Well, I tell you what, he's probably going to be here. Oh, he looks like a 15-yearer. Oh, he's shorter. He's probably a 5-year. Oh, this boy here, he looks intelligent. I think he'll probably stay around a little bit longer, no telling. This boy here, oh, I can tell. He's going to probably marry one of our girls. He's going to have 10 or 20 kids. Man, I just sense it. Grandchildren on the way. I mean, it's going to be neat. He's going to grow old. He's going to have false teeth. He's going to bend over. I mean, when he gets older, he's going to lose weight. He thinks he's something now, but Bubba, let me tell you, the world knows what's going to happen. All right, now sit down. But you don't know. You don't know. So what do? You love them all the same. You thank God they're here. You say, that's hard. You think it's not hard as a preacher? Pastor, am I speaking the truth? Yeah, as a preacher, we fall in love with people. We pray for them every week. We pour our lives into them every week. Then all of a sudden, we look out and somebody's not here. I already wrote down 5 names tonight, people not here. You say, who are they? You figure it out. But I already wrote down 5 names tonight, people not here. I've got a burden for already, and they're but I'm keeping their names in my head, and I'm not going to preach at them because they're not here. But can I tell you, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying as a pastor, here's what you do. You fall in love with people. I just noticed this. All these guys, all you men on the front row, just stand up. Just stand. All the men on the front row. Man, that's neat. Hey, you did good. Hey, give them a hand, will you? That's good, man. Sharp. Sharp. All right, thank you. Be seated. Watch this. I'm saying this. They've always wanted me to give them a hand. That's the only reason they sat on the front row. Maybe one day pastor will recognize me. And never happen again. But anyway, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that we can face the impossible by continuing just to go forward. You know what I've learned as a preacher? You stand with people. You love people. But when it comes down to it, you love God more. Yeah. You just keep Him first. We don't do what we do for people's applause. We don't do what we do for people's attention. I'd be the same type of preacher if God put me in Alaska. God put me in Romania. They'd still get me. You know why? Because me is me. My God is my God. I go soul with you no matter where I go. Pass out the gospel tracts no matter where I go. It don't matter to me where I'm at. I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to try and get people in church. Well, it's not your church. You're right. It's not yours either. It's God's. So since it's God's, I guess I better do the best no matter where I'm at. I'm saying this. I'm saying that face the impossible by continuing to go forward. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 24, the Bible says this. They that hearkeneth not, nor incline their ear, but walketh, it says, in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, went backward and not forward. Here's the question. Are you closer to God today than you were 4 years ago? Are you the people that's going backward? Are you the people that's going forward? Are you more excited about serving God today than you were 6 months ago? By the way, what took your excitement away? What's caused you to go? Is it somebody you're hanging around who have hindered you? Is it an event that took place in your life that you looked at and said, okay, must be impossible, so I'm giving up. I'll just go the way of the flesh. Is that what's happened? I'm saying this. I'm saying you face the impossible by continuing to go forward. Moses facing the Red Sea, the Egyptian army coming up. What if he would have decided not to go forward? They all would have been slaughtered. You say, but it was impossible. All things are possible to him that believeth. You have a God that works in the impossibility. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 through 22, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel, wait a minute, the children of Israel? You mean somebody is going to follow your faith? You mean when you face the impossibility, people are watching to see what you're going to do? You mean when you're facing the temptations of life, they're going to see if you bend, if you bow, or if you burn? You mean to tell me that even good Christians watch other Christians? Don't tell me it's not true. I know it's true. You know that somebody says, well, why do you try to live the way you live? I don't want to be a stumbling block. Why would I choose to take the lower land when I can walk on the higher land? I'd rather somebody point to me, stand up, Jack Bachman. I'd rather somebody point to me or to Dr. Bachman and say, wow, he inspires me to live for God. He inspires me to be more holy. He inspires me to walk with God more than to look at him and say, well, I'll tell you what, if he's doing the wrong, then I guess it's okay. People do watch you. People do pay, thank you, sir. People do pay attention to you. You can either be a stepping stone to someone or a stumbling block to someone. It would be better to be a stepping stone. You say, but preacher, that means that I might have to live a little bit more narrow. Well, it might mean that, yes, you might have to live a little bit more narrow. But if that be true, can I tell you, it would be better to live that way and have your children turn out for God than to have your children not turn out for God. It would be far better for somebody to be excited about the things of God. I'm tired of dead churches. I don't want our church ever to become a funeral home. I don't want our church all of a sudden to dry up and wilt and go away. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. When you say amen in church, you're letting the devil and the devil's crowd know whose side you're on. Amen. Well, let him know. Don't just sit there like a bump on a log. Don't just sit there like, well, I tell you what, preacher, it's okay. It's not okay. I believe the reason some of our children in churches across America don't have a desire to live for God because they don't see anybody doing it. We got more worldliness inside of churches nowadays than you can shake a stick at. We got more people that's not seeking the power of the Holy Ghost today than you can be able to number. There's got to be somebody that goes down. Why not it be you, Daddy? Why not it be you, Mama? That just decides that you're going to go down and you're going to meet with God and you're going to get a fresh anointing of the power of God in your life. Every mama needs that. Every daddy needs that. Let me give you one more and I'm done. I've got to finish it. But you face the impossible by just continuing to believe that God is good, by keeping your faith in God, by continuing to pray, by continuing to go forward. I've got three more points. I promise you, I'm going to end it on this one. And that is by continuing to do right. Just continue to do right. Here's what it says. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not be weary, listen to the statement, in well-doing. Now, that proposes that some people are going to get weary in well-doing. And it's true. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if, here's your conditional clause, we faint not. So God says we shall reap if we do not faint. What if David and that lion, or Daniel in that lion's den? What if Daniel in that lion's den saw the throbbing mouths, if you would please, of those lions coming after him with the saliva drifting down out of the portion of their mouth and their fangs, their teeth, if you will, sharp as nails and getting ready to launch out on him. What if he would have said this, oh, I'm scared. I've got so much fear. And he looked at the lions more than looking at the God that created the lions. He'd be a dead man. I said he'd be a dead man. But he didn't do that. He knew the Creator. Listen to me tonight. What if all of a sudden those three Hebrew boys said, I tell you what, yeah, I do want to. God, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, God, I love you. But I don't want to get burned. I mean, if you put your hand over the top of a furnace and you light it up and the flame is coming out, duh, you're going to burn your skin. You think that we want to be cast in that burning fiery furnace? God, I do love you, but that's not what they said. They said, no, we're not going to bow. And if we do get cast into the furnace, we're still not going to bow. But listen to me. Even if we do get cast into the, we're not going to bow. And so if we get burned and we die, we're still going to do what's right. Amen. We don't have that much nowadays. Two teenagers riding along in a car, and one teenager is battling the flesh and so turns on rock music or some other ungodly type of stuff. And the teenager that's riding along in the car says to himself, well, I can't say anything because if I say anything, I might lose friendship. Well, if you said something to be godly like you're supposed to, you might gain a friend. I mean, whatever happened, and by the way, you're not supposed to live for God for man's sake. You're supposed to live for God for your sake and for that which is the cause of Christ. Yeah. I'm saying this. Just decide that you're going to do right when the impossible comes. You go to a party. It's a party of celebration. They have it every year. It's around the Thanksgiving or it's around the Christmas time. And all of a sudden, somebody comes up and they says, man, you've been promoted in the company. And so, hey, we like to make a toast to you tonight. So they dip their little cups and the spiked type of juice. It's got alcohol in it, and they give you one. At that point, with 100 people looking at you, do you drink it or do you not? There has to be a time when you stand. You fly international, they come down those aisles. Do you want white? Do you want red? Do you want white? Do you want red? Do you want white? Do you want red? And they serve that wine all the way over, all the way back. I told Brother Kavanaugh not to drink it, but he would not listen to me. No, I'm kidding. His wife paid me to say that. But now watch this, if you will. You know, those temptational times come. You know, you're sitting there, do I watch this movie? Do I look at this magazine? So how far do I go, preacher? It might be according to your relationship with God and what you know God expects out of you. See, it's so different, isn't it? We have people that try and live close to God here, and then they look down on people that's not there. Then we have people that are here, and they make fun of people that's living here. Why don't you just walk with God? And instead of you playing the Holy Ghost, by the way, let the preacher do the preaching. I'll shell the corn. You don't have to worry about corn shelling around here. But I'm saying, why don't we decide to face the impossible by simply doing what is right? That means church attendance. That means tithing. It means going soul winning, reading your Bible, praying, loving your neighbor. living a separate life from the world. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you can face the impossible and be able to go forward. But you've got to decide that you're going to face the impossible. You have to decide that. I tell you, as a preacher that loves you and as a pastor that loves you, and as a preacher that cares about our nation, when I see things that start to go adrift, bothers me. Why? Because I know the end result of the drift. I lived on that 180-acre farm for 6 years of my life. I went back and I served, and I served on the farm and loved my grandparents till they sold it when I was 14 years of age. And I was over different ones that would come and do planting and stuff like that, and had to know a little bit about planting and stuff and machinery and all that good stuff. And but I can tell you this. Even when I was 14 years of age, I had to go up to men that was in their 40s and say, now look, you're not doing it that way. This is the way you're going to do it, because this is what the owner wants. And those men that was in their 40s, they would say, now, well, you can't tell me what to do. You're just 14. And I would say, the owner has told me to tell you you're not going to do it that way. Now, if you want to retain your job, I suggest you listen to the owner, because I've been sent by the owner. Do you now understand? And they would say, we'll do whatever you say, sir. Now, can I tell you, you've been sent by the owner. And it's not up to you how you want to plant your field. The earth is the Lord's, may I remind you, I've quoted this a couple of times, and the fullness thereof, that also means you. And so what we do is we step up and we obey the owner. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of God? It's not your own. It's been bought with a price. There's a different owner. And by the way, don't tell me you can't have fun in Christianity. You don't have to go out and get a dog drunk in order to have fun.
Amen.
Girls, you don't have to go out. Boys, you don't have to go out and sell your body and lose your purity before marriage in order to have fun.
That's right.
You don't have to dress like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, become like the world in order, unless you're trying to get somebody else's attention that is not trying to live for God. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, here's what we do. We just decide we're going to face the impossible and just live for God. Father, help us tonight, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.